Last week, you know, I shared about Halloween, you know, and why people shouldn't celebrate Halloween. And I asked the question, you know, should people, you know, celebrate Halloween? And some people immediately said no. You know, so I was going to just end it right there and says, well, you already got the answer. And so, but I wanted to talk about it and explain a little bit about the roots of it, where it comes from and why we shouldn't celebrate it as, amen, especially as God's people. We should know better. But, you know, people perish for lack of knowledge. If we don't know these things, sometimes, you know, we can be duped and accepting things in our lives that the Lord does not. And we need to ask the Lord to give us discernment in everything that we're allowing in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to grieve the Lord. I don't want to allow something in my life that He does not approve of. Amen. And I discover if I stay close to the Lord, come on, and I pray in the Holy Spirit, right? And I'm in His Word and I'm in fellowship. I'm pursuing His heart. Then I automatically know what He accepts and what He doesn't accept. I already have that understanding. Are you hearing me? But God gives us His Word, amen, to bring clarity, because sometimes, you know, we need the surgical instrument of the Word of God to go in and kind of make a clean cut in certain things, in certain areas of our lives, things that we have allowed, not understanding how destructive they are in our lives. And there are so many things that we are influenced by in simply our culture, and things that we just accept, things that we often say even, without really understanding the origin of what we're saying or the expression. And so I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. And the title of the message is The Deception of Luck and Superstition. Now, just a little review. God gave these instructions to Israel, okay, before they entered the land of Canaan. In Deuteronomy 18, verse 9, He says, when you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, be very careful not to imitate the detestable customs of the nations living there. For example, never sacrifice your son or daughter as a burnt offering, and do not let your people practice fortune telling or use sorcery or interpret omens or engage in witchcraft or cast spells or function as mediums or psychics or call forth the spirits of the dead, such as a right, necromancy, I think it's called, such as a seance. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. He says, anyone who does this is detestable to the Lord. It is because the other nations have done these detestable things that the Lord your God will drive them out ahead of you. In other words, as long as they were to be obedient to the instruction of the Lord, they would be able to go in, amen, and clean out the land, to clear out the land, and possess what God had promised them. But they were not to cohabitate, all right, with the customs, all right, and the things that they were doing, the detestable practices, okay, any form of witchcraft or occultism. And I wanted to step it up a little bit more even today and refine a little bit more on this subject, because there are so many things that we are tolerating sometimes in our lives that are actually inviting trouble into our homes and into our own lives, because we simply do not know the root or the origin of those things. And one of those things is this thing called luck. And I want to break it down and talk about it this morning. And superstition. So the Bible is very clear, and God warns us about mixing pagan beliefs such as luck and superstition with our Christian beliefs. In Isaiah 65:11, but He said, you are those who forsake the Lord. He was rebuking the people for these types of practices, who forget my holy mountain, who prepare a table for God, G-A-W-D, Gad, and who furnish a drink offering for many. So He says, you prepare a table for Gad or God, G-A-W-A, and who furnish a drink offering for many. So then who is Gad or many? Gad was a Babylonian god of fortune. In other words, it was an idol. Okay? Many was the god of number, fate, or destiny. there's an attitude among some that feel like, well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. So I don't need to pray about anything or ask God to intervene in any situation because God's already got his plan and it's just going to automatically happen. Well, that does not line up with what the word tells us. Amen. When Jesus told us that we must pray and not quit. Amen. And not give up. And that we must pray, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth. In all our ways, we're supposed to be acknowledging him. You see, God is not responsible for the things that we do independent of him. When we're not including him, inviting him into our decisions, amen, we make decisions independent of God, and then sometimes God gets blamed because we have a poor outcome. Can you agree with that? Sometimes we're blaming God for things that we have done. Because we have not acknowledged him, we have not invited him into our lives to the degree that we are acknowledging him and everything that we're doing. We're calling on him and asking him, when you get up in the morning, you commit your day to the Lord, amen. When you get in your car, you commit that trip to the Lord. When you sit down to eat, you commit that to the Lord. You ask the Lord to bless the food you're about to receive, amen. In other words, we're supposed to be invoking his divine influence in our lives on a daily basis in everything we're doing. Why? Because God has given us authority in the earth realm, okay, to enforce what he's already accomplished for us, all right, and that is victory over the power of sin and Satan. But we have to call on the Lord, and we have to call in the reign of God into the earth realm through intercession or prayer, amen, where we call upon the name of the Lord. That's why when we have worship, amen, I encourage everyone to cry out to Jesus, amen. Hallelujah, there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, amen, to liberate any captive. But faith in his name is important. So it's not about just calling on his name. It's calling on his name in faith, believing that God's hearing you and that God's going to intervene on your behalf. All right. So when a person says, well, I feel lucky today, or, you know, I just got lucky. You heard that one? Or fortunately, things are going well for me right now. Fortunately. See, so many things that we bring in. What is it? Fortunately. Well, there's a God called Fortuna or that comes through. OK, but we'll get into that. But putting your faith in luck is actually idolatry. It's putting your faith in something or someone other than the living God. We don't live by luck. Amen. We live by faith in God. God directs our steps as we acknowledge him. Amen. But we're not depending on some kind of superstition for things to happen, either good or bad in our lives. We all know that good and bad happens to everybody. Amen. It rains on the just and the unjust. Amen. But it's not a matter of fatality or what do you call it? Fatalism. Okay, or destiny, the God of destiny. It's just going to happen. So, oh, well, we're just along for the ride. Well, some people live like that. And because they're not involving or including God in their decisions and everything they're doing, all right, then they're not basically making good choices because God knows how to make every situation straight. Amen. Any crooked place he can make straight. Amen. And he can protect us. Amen. Supernaturally. But we need to be praying for his protection. Amen. And so we trust the Lord that God does not always do things the way we think he should when he should or how. Right. But we do trust in his providence. We trust that he knows what's best. But if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So he's looking for us to come into agreement with heaven and his will and for his purpose to be accomplished on the earth through us. So we must be people of his presence. People of his presence are people who have a relationship with him. People who have a relationship with him are people who pray. You can talk about a relationship with Jesus, but if you're not communing with the Lord, you don't have a relationship with the Lord. Somebody say amen. So the term luck is derived from the Middle Dutch word lucker, meaning happiness or good fortune. So in ancient pagan civilizations such as Mesopotamia and Egypt, luck was often tied to the favor of the gods. People would offer sacrifices and perform rituals, hoping to secure divine support for a bountiful harvest or victory in battle. So the Romans introduced the concept of Fortuna, the goddess of fortune. Now hear this. Who was depicted with a wheel symbolizing the unpredictable nature of fate. Does that sound familiar? Wheel of... Okay. See, these things that we just repeat and we don't even know, well, where did that come from? Or it's pagan. All right, so during the Middle Ages, people would carry lucky charms. Ever eat lucky charms for breakfast?
Nope.
Hopefully not. Not anytime soon anyways, right? Or recently. Avoid certain numbers, or they would follow omens in hopes of influencing their fortune. So that's superstition. You see, they would carry these, you know, rabbit's foots and things that, you know, or some people have crystals and they trust in these crystals to keep them safe or protect them. Amen. But, you know, whenever you put something before God, you give the enemy an opportunity to step into that situation and even possess objects. All right. Rosaries, things that you're putting your faith in. Come on. Objects that you put your faith in. Amen. We've put our faith in the living God alone. Amen.
Yes.
And not in things. Because things become idols. Even materialism. There's a god of materialism, Fortuna, right? Of success. If you go down by the casino and drive in, if you've ever been inside those places, hopefully you haven't been down there recently. But you go in there, it's all about good what? Luck, good fortune, lucky seven. Now, all these things have meaning. Okay. And yet we adopt things into our lives and we say things without really realizing what we're saying because our culture is so saturated with these things. All right. So the number seven, for instance, became widely regarded as lucky. Today, luck is associated with chance and probability, right? We see that in the lottery business industry, right? Casino industry. They thrive on the allure of luck. Try your luck. So many gamblers, athletes, and everyday people actually invoke luck. While some may believe it's all innocent fun, we need to understand what God has to say about the subject. In Isaiah 2 and verse 6, the Lord has rejected his people, the descendants of Jacob, because they have filled their land with the practices from the east and with sorcerers as the Philistines do. They have made alliances with pagans. So instead of trusting the Lord, the people were consulting diviners from the east, and many became fortune tellers like the Philistines. So there are plenty of fortune tellers today and some operating in the church under the guise of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe there are words of knowledge the Holy Spirit will give. But some people are operating in a different spirit altogether. And if we don't have discernment, we can be duped by that. Come on. God, when God speaks, it's very clear.
Yes.
When God gives you direction, it's very clear.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. But there are many people today that are doing this, the fortune tellers. But they think that they're doing a good thing. Many of them have a good motivation in that. They think, well, I'm helping people by helping them know what the future holds. You know, and so we can always justify anything we do if we want to. But I don't want to try to fool myself. Amen. I don't want to be self-deceived into allowing something in my life, you know, that maybe God says is not good for me. So if we're wise, we're going to listen to the counsel of God. Amen. Some are actually consulting demons for their information. And they know it. They're calling on familiar spirits. These spirits that study people's lives, know their family history, know things about people. And they consult these spirits When the person comes in, well, that demon will show up and say, well, this is what they've been up to lately. And so they're just parroting what they hear from the demon. And the people go, wow, you must be of God. The question is, what God are you operating from? What God are you relying on? Are you relying on the living God or on demons, familiar spirits? So I give you an example. My grandfather, he once went to a fortune teller. And the fortune teller told him that you will die. And he was in his 20s at a young age. He got the death card. So that thing tormented him all his life. And that didn't happen. He lived a long life. But those very words, it was like a curse spoken over him that tormented him his whole life. Always wondering if I'm going to die. Do you understand how the enemy works here? The Lord forbids these things because they're destructive. Anything the devil does for you, any favor he does for you, he always requires more in exchange. You always lose in the end. Remember, King Saul foolishly consulted a fortune teller in Endor. In 1 Chronicles 10:13, so Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord. He disobeyed the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. Now, the expression practices from the East, that's Isaiah 2:6, could also apply to the current popularity of Eastern religion in Western countries today. And in some cases, these pagan practices have crept into the church. Eastern mysticism, mystics, meditation, yoga. A lot of we call it, oh, it's just Christian yoga. Well, yoga means to yoke together, to yoke together. And each one of those poses is a different deity in Hinduism. And there are Christians that don't understand those things, and they involve themselves in the very pose that speaks about, and basically they're bowing down to a different deity each time they do those exercises. Now, I'm all for exercise, amen, but we need to be careful about what we're doing and what we're allowing, amen, because I've heard testimony of a young lady that came from India who got born again, who used to be involved very heavily into those things. And yoga, and she was warning the church to don't practice yoga because it's demonic. And again, any benefits you may get from it, you may find out in the long run it's going to be worse for you. It's the same thing when people call upon and use demons to heal, which they can do. But then later on, it comes back with a vengeance. Something worse happens to them. That's how the enemy works. He deceives people by doing something in the short term, but then later it translates into a worse problem because he doesn't do anything for free. He's a thief. He's a destroyer. So he dupes people with these things. Superstition is also a form of idolatry. And, you know, there was a statistic that I think was like 23% of people in the church, this one statistic, believe in superstition. And but it's a form of idolatry because we know all things are possible with God, right? Because God's word is proven. But superstition is believing in something that you know is not true, yet you believe it anyways. For example, the number 13 is very unlucky, especially Friday the 13th. Or if a black cat crosses your path, it is bad luck, right? Superstition is also attributed to fate or magic. Truth is reality, but superstition is believing in something that is false. So again, in this one poll, 23% of Christians read horoscopes and believe in astrology. And another statistic was 25% of churchgoers are superstitious. That was it. So consulting a horoscope is seeking the creation for counsel and guidance, the creation, rather than the creator himself. Therefore, it is idolatry. So if you're seeking an object or something other than God for counsel and guidance in your life, it is what we call idolatry, is having another God before him. In Zephaniah 1:5, it says, "For they go up to their roofs and bow down to the what? Sun, moon, and stars." And that is astrology, and that is what a horoscope is actually about. They claim to follow the Lord, but then they worship Molech too. Now, we live, as you know, in a very superstitious world. Did you know that over 80% of high-rise buildings have no 13th floor? Yeah, check it out. Hospitals and hotels regularly have no room number 13. And there is no 13th row of seats on major airlines. You ever heard the expression, knock on wood? Did you know that some pagan religions believe that all living things, including trees, had their own spirit? So when the tree was cut down, the tree spirit would die and evil spirits would take up residence inside the wood. These evil spirits would then devise ways of ruining the plans and hopes of people in the area. But if someone knocked on the wood, it would drive the evil spirits away and prevent misfortune from occurring. So suppose someone who's been sick is asked how they are feeling. If they respond, "I'm better now," but then immediately they say, "Knock on wood," what are they saying? "If I don't knock on wood, I might get sick again." It's superstition. So unfortunately, some people actually believe these things and are bound by these false beliefs. I found myself thinking that at times, you know, if it's like you buy something and the cost is $6.66, or, you know, right? And it's like just the stuff that we've been fed over the years, you know, that we said, well, number 13 is not lucky, so I better avoid the number 13. I need to go to number 14 or something. You know, these kind of crazy ideas and things that people are actually bound by. Because if you put faith in a lie, it'll have strength in your life. Amen? That's why God forbids idolatry, because behind every idol is a demon. You need to get this stuff out of your life, out of your home, and out of your conversation, by the way. You know, the Lord's been cleaning me up, too, with a lot of this stuff, and just saying, quit saying that. Because there's so many things we just say because that's how we communicate. It's out of habit, yeah. So, another one is breaking a mirror. You know where that came from? Well, it used to be like mirrors were very expensive back in the day. And it would take like 7 years sometimes wages for somebody to buy a mirror. All right. So ensure that they handle it carelessly. They don't handle it carelessly. Someone invented the story that anyone who breaks a mirror gets what? 7 years of bad luck. Someone once said, "Let Satan have a tiny piece of your heart and he'll torment you until he has it all." If you give Satan a little piece of your heart, he'll torment you until he has it all. Remember last week I talked about he wants to get his foot in the door, so you feel obligated to let him all the way in. So a little compromise leads to major compromises in time. Yeah, a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. Thank you. So, and it also says, offer Lord, the Lord half your heart, and he'll have none of it. God does not want half of our heart. He wants all of our heart. Amen. Amen. But the enemy only wants a little bit of it, so you can get a foothold. So if you need an alternate deity to fall back on, then you don't really believe that God will take care of you. Do you believe that God will provide for your needs? Yes. Of course. Do you believe that God will protect you from harm? Yes. Protect you from evil? Yes. But if people are relying on amulets. I said that last week. Not egg omelets, but, you know, crystals or rabbit's foot or good luck charms, these types of things. That's idolatry. It's a form of shamanism. And it's forbidden. Why? Because, again, when you start to put faith in an object or something else, even I don't care if you wear a cross. There's nothing wrong with wearing a cross. Amen. If it's just a reminder of what Jesus did for you, that's good. Amen. But if you're wearing a cross for the purpose of protection, be careful with that stuff. Our hope and our faith is in Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Not in these things. If you need a horoscope to tell your future, then you're not trusting your future to the Lord Jesus. And a lot of people, they want to know the future. I do too. Lord, I ask the Lord sometimes, Lord, what's going to happen? What's next? You know, the Lord sometimes will show us, the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. Amen? But often He doesn't, because He wants us just to trust Him. And He knows we can make a mess of things if we get too much information. It's like giving your child responsibility that they're not ready for. You're not giving your five-year-old the car keys. Right? Because he can't handle it. He's not ready for it. Amen? So the Lord knows our frame. And I believe I mentioned this before, but the rapture of the church. Amen? You don't know the day or the hour. You're not going to know the day or the hour. You just need to be ready because it could happen at any time. Amen. When the Lord says it's time, it's time. Amen. We just need to be ready. But both luck and superstition have their roots in paganism. And so we are forbidden as God's people to rely on other gods or place our trust in luck, but to place our full trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 10:21. He says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons, because that happens in the church. People are mixing things together. Santeria is one of those practices where they bring in crosses and crucifixes and even, you know, some Christian symbolism, but it's mixed with all the paganism as well. See, the enemy wants to muddle things. He wants you to mix the wine. God wants us to be pure. Amen? Undefiled. Separate from that which is evil. Having nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Amen? And fleeing from all appearance of evil. We are children of the light, so we are to walk in the light. Amen? And have nothing to do with the darkness. The enemy can only operate in darkness. And so if you want to make excuses for things that you're doing in your life that deep down inside you know God says no to, then it's your fault, okay, if the enemy is messing you up. Don't blame God because of your rebellion. Can I encourage you just to repent of those things? If God is pointing something out this morning, amen, it's because He loves you. Amen. He wants what's best for His people. He wants us to be free. He doesn't want us to be bound by anything. Amen. He doesn't want us to rely on any other spirits except the Holy Spirit. Spirit of truth. And you know the Holy Spirit will never do anything again outside of the Word of God. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 6:17, he says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And as I mentioned last week, if you haven't heard it, you can go online on the website and listen to it. Why people should not celebrate Halloween. But Halloween is a time when Satan, witches, demons are glorified. Ghosts, goblins, skulls, skeletons, black cats, jack-o'-lanterns, bats, spiders, witches, cauldrons, costume trick-or-treaters all have their root in superstitious pagan beliefs. So as true followers of Jesus Christ, we reject superstition because our allegiance is to Christ alone. As God's people, we should not participate in anything that promotes things contrary to the Word of God. God's name alone is to be hallowed, to be set apart as holy, not some pagan festival. Psalms 113 and 3, from the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. Hallelujah. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon in the King James. It's the Greek word. But it's a Syriac word, actually, mammon, and it's a name given to an idol worshipped as the god of riches or fortune. Oh, are you making the connections here? Superstition, luck, riches, wealth, believing in, amen, a different power, source, rather than the living God who gives us all things richly to enjoy, who is our provider, amen, and our protector. There are people who are actually calling on Satan, okay, or on other spirits for protection. Amen? That's like being in a battle with an enemy and handing your weapon over to your enemy and say, would you protect me from yourself? How ridiculous that is, right? But people do those things. In other words, they're asking someone who wants to destroy them to protect them. Have nothing to do with it. My faith is in Jesus, amen, alone. Amen. Hallelujah. I know where my help comes from. He's the maker of heaven and earth. He is the sovereign Lord. He has the name that is above every name, amen. Every knee is going to bow to him. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ. He is Lord. Hallelujah. Satan himself will bow his knee, amen, to Jesus and confess him as Lord. Hallelujah. And many gamblers have been taken captive by this spirit. And many have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You see, we cannot bow down to the God of wealth, amen, and to the God of our provision, the true living God. And that's what happens. And sometimes people make an idol out of wealth or out of money. And they live their lives. They may claim to be followers of Jesus, but their life is all about the dollar bill. Are you hearing me? And making money. And Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. For you'll hold to the one and despise the other. All right? You cannot serve God and mammon, or this idol of riches. Okay? Now, I'm going to just drop this in. I'm almost through. I probably shared this with some of you before. But I remember when I was stationed over in Korea. And I was in the Army, but we got assigned to an Air Force base for about 30 days. And while we were there and when we weren't on duty, we had nothing else to do except go to the club, the NCO club. Well, when you got in there, the walls were lined with slot machines. And I'd actually never played slot machines before. And then they were like, I don't know, nickel and quarter or something, or dime and quarter or something like that. So I was bored. I said, oh, I got a little change here. I'll go ahead and give it a shot. Why not? I'll test my luck. Threw it in there, and sure enough, boom, I had a payout. You know how the enemy baits you? You get that payout. And now you think, hey, I can even make more money if I just keep doing this. Next thing I know, I'm just throwing money like crazy. And I mean, in a very short period of time, I was addicted to those things. And then I was losing money, but I thought, well, maybe this time I'll win it back. And this time, how many know a lot of people have blown their retirements on those machines pursuing luck, amen, rather than trusting in God to provide for them? Come on, all right. Do you understand? Sometimes those things can become our idol. And I know this upsets some people. They get mad at you. Talk about gambling. But it's true. We're not bound down to God and mammon, but God alone. In 1 Timothy, I close with this. 6 and verse 9. But those who desire to be rich, that's really at the root of this, is covetousness, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Do we not see that in our world? The wars over, you know, the bloodshed, all the things that happen over money, and right? Real estate. For which some have strayed, what? From the faith. They've strayed from the faith in their greediness. and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So you and I have to make a decision who we're going to follow, who we're going to serve. Amen? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do it right. If God says it's not good, it ain't good. If God says it's good, it's good. It says, if God says don't do it, I don't do it. If he says do it, I do it. Amen? There's life and peace. Amen? In the Holy Spirit. When you're in cooperation, when you're in fellowship with the Lord and you're doing the things that please the Lord, do you know that if you're pleasing the Lord, you will feel pleased? You'll feel his pleasure in you. Isn't that true? When you do something in obedience, sometimes your flesh is saying, I don't want to do it. But you say, you're going to do it because the Lord's telling you to do it. And so you do it, and then all of a sudden the good feelings follow your faith. Amen. That's how God does it. Sometimes we're tested that way, aren't we? Who are we going to be loyal to? Ourself? Are we our own God? Or are we going to submit ourselves to him who is God? And allow him to use us as his vessel. You know, there's righteousness and peace and joy in the Lord, in the Holy Spirit. And God wants his people to be filled with his presence, filled with his righteousness, peace, and joy. Amen? That's who he is. And you'll find your delight in the Lord. Amen. And if you delight yourself in the Lord, what does it say? He will even give you the desires of your heart. God is a good God. Amen. He wants to take care of you. He wants to provide. But don't put your faith, your trust in any other God, any other thing, any objects. Amen. Don't be going to these soothsayers. Amen. And if you have done any of these things, you need to repent. I want to ask you to bow your heads. Right now, if God has been speaking to you about something that you've done in your past, I would encourage you, because sometimes these things can attach to you, those spirits that you consulted. And if the Lord has dealt with you about something this morning, would you just renounce it before the Lord right now and say, in Jesus' name, I renounce this thing. Lord, I confess my sin today, and I'm asking you to forgive me. And I'm asking you to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord, I'm asking you to break every chain in my life. Any attachment, Lord, to the occult. I'm asking you, Jesus, to sever every cord, every chain, Lord. And anything that might tether me, Lord, to my old life, my old ways of thinking. Lord, I want to be completely free in you. Completely liberated in you. I want to be a pure vessel for you. So, Lord, I open my heart to you. Would you just open the door right now to him and say, Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I ask you to come into my heart today. And I want you to sweep the house. I want you to cleanse the house. I want you to wash me in your blood. And I want you to sever every chain. Root out of me anything that is not of you. And replace it with your holy presence. Lord Jesus, I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Baptize my heart. Immerse me in your holy presence today. And fill my life with you. I thank you for that. I receive forgiveness. I receive deliverance today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So let's say this together. Say, Satan, we reject you. In Jesus' name. One more time. Satan, we reject you. In Jesus' name. Get out of my life. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Fill every part of my being in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord.